Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just lift your name up and we just ask that your presence would be in our midst today by the power of your Holy Spirit to change and transform us. Father, we don't want to leave this place the same way as we came in, but we want to be changed and transformed by the power of your word. Anoint our hearts and our minds and our ears to just hear a fresh word from you that would challenge us to be more like you each day. God, we just give you all the praise, all the glory. Take a coal from the altar and cleanse my lips. Let me speak forth the absolute truth of God that would build faith in your people. God, we just give you praise. We give you glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. Well, this morning, the title of my message is A Wonderful Word. And I want to start in Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 16, it said, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Man, what an incredibly awesome word. If that was the only verse you had, you got it all. Everything that you in your life that you need for godliness is wrapped up in the saving power and the word of Christ. Amen? Everything that we need. You know, this verse is wonderful, but this whole book is wonderful. This whole Bible is wonderful. It is an incredible, some people say, well, it was just written by men. Well, man, they were some terribly anointed, Holy Ghost-filled men to write something that could be so powerful and so life-changing that would not contradict itself. And there are some would say it contradicts itself, but they're just flat wrong. But this thing is an incredible book. It has so much in it. You know, I got to be careful what I say this morning. One of my professors from college is here, and so I have to be careful what I say. But I'll just throw this one out here for you because I say it all the time because I'm talking about the word right now. You know, a lot of people say this is your sword, and I don't believe this is the sword. I believe the sword is the word that proceeds out of your mouth. If you don't have it in you, you don't have a sword. It's what comes out of your mouth. This right here is a wonderful book, but it's the stone by which you sharpen your sword. It's how you sharpen the sword of your life. How do you sharpen what God has in your life to speak forth into people's life that will cut to deep into people's lives, into the bone and the marrow, and remove the sin from people's lives. And unless you know this word and are into this word, it has no effect. Your life will have no effect in people. It was funny. I was talking to a pastor friend of mine yesterday, and he asked me. He said, Tim, why is it so many people in the church struggle in so many areas and struggle? And I said, well, I think you know the answer. And he goes, well, you tell me what you think it is. And I said, it's a lack of the word. It's a lack of the knowledge of the Word of God operating in your life on an everyday basis. And I said, and the other thing that I think is a challenge to the church people today is living in the normal days. I think it's easy to live in the extreme struggles of our life. And it's not easy, but we know what to do when we're in the struggles of our life. And then we love living in the accelerated moments of God's glory and presence and just the hoopla of God's Holy Spirit moving in our lives. But there are a lot more normal days, and people fall off one way or the other onto the deep end of life, or get confused in life when they cannot be comfortable in the normal days. Because for most of us, normal days are more than the accelerated days and the days of struggle. And if you can't figure out how to be happy in just a day when it's just a day, you'll struggle with your walk with God. It's the normal days. It's coming to church and being excited when someone gets healed because there's a great moment in God. when someone gets set free and healed and the Holy Spirit moves and you have a tongues, an interpretation or a prophecy and God moves, that's a great day. But then there's those days when you come in and it's a struggle and everyone's got something that you got to pray with them about, and there's just a struggle to get through, and the church is struggling somehow, and you're all praying that God will move because someone is deathly sick or something, and we're trying to see a breakthrough, and there's that struggle. There are those days, but there are a lot more Sundays where you just come to church and you hear the word of God, and then you go home and you have some lunch and you just do your normal thing. There are a lot more of those days, and people struggle, I think, sometimes in finding happiness in the normal day. That's why they jump from church to church looking for the next thrill in God. And I think that's the problem in the church today, is that they haven't figured out how to be normal. And so, this word right here, this Bible, brings us life, it brings us health and peace and abundance. We should never lack in our lives ever again with this word. There should never be lack in our lives. Now, is there going to be lack in our lives? Sometimes there's lack in our lives because we haven't gotten into this enough. There are so many blessings in our lives, even when we have absolutely nothing. Jim was just saying, when you have nothing, if you still have God, you have something, and you have an incredible power and grace to get through whatever you're going through. This is our heavenly bank, this Bible. It's a heavenly bank. We find everything that we want in it. There's every answer to every question in our lives we can find in the Word of God. God will guide us in His Scripture. The Bible desires to show us just how rich we can be, because in everything and in every area of our lives, we can be enriched in Christ. There is no area of your life that cannot be enriched if you put Christ in it. If we allow Christ to work in our lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 5 says that you were enriched in everything by Him, Christ, in all utterance, in all knowledge. Every area of our lives can be impacted by Christ if we'll let Him. For you, He has abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Romans 5:17 says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned through one, how much more those who receive abundant grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Christ Jesus." You know, oftentimes we say in church that we're waiting for Christ's return so we can reign. But the Bible teaches us that we can reign in this life, that we don't have to wait. I honestly believe that everyone can predict when Jesus will return, but I'll predict it for you, and I've predicted it before. I will tell you exactly when Jesus will return. Jesus will return when every enemy has been made His footstool. That's what He said. He was going to go sit at the right hand of the Father until every enemy was made His footstool. And now He's sitting, waiting for His body to understand who we are in Christ, so that we can take authority and live in the life of abundance that Christ has provided for us on this earth. And when we, the body of Christ, begin to recognize who we are and begin to take authority over sickness, over disease, over poverty, over depression, over demonic oppression, all those things, when we begin to just begin to live in the authority of Christ, it'll be over. Jesus will return, and He will return and rule and reign with us. And that will be a wonderful day. But we need to understand that through God's grace, through the gift of His righteousness, we can reign in this life. Matthew chapter 19, verse 26 says, "But Jesus looked at them and said to them, 'With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible.'" There's nothing we can do on our own. We can't do it without Christ. The Bible wants to show us that we can be the living branches, the living vine of Jesus. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. We can produce fruit into this world. The ministry of Jesus. I love when Jesus said that greater things will you do. And the reasons that you'll do greater things is because you'll be the branch from the vine. The fruit that you will bear will bring forth much more and greater things than Christ did on his own. Because he believes in the power of multiplication. Jesus was one man doing a job for God. We are thousands and thousands doing a job for God. We will do much more if we will hear the voice of God, if we will allow ourselves to work with that. It's our privilege to be in our right here on earth to move in Christ. This is what God wants us to understand. John told us in 1 John 4, verse 17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because he is, so we are in the world. Not that we are anything of ourselves, but in Christ we are all in all. We are everything in Christ. And when he says that, in the days of judgment, in the days of this time period right now, where we see sin abounding, we have the power and authority to overcome those things. We have the power to share into people's lives and to speak with people and to let love abound into those situations and overcome those things. That's the gift that God's given you. I always say evangelism starts with hello. You know, I said last week that I want to make a button that says, ask me to demonstrate the power of God. So that when people read that button, they say, well, what do you mean, ask me to demonstrate the power of God? So I can say to them, well, what do you need today? What do you need from God today? Do you need me to pray for you? Do you need a hug today? Do you need me to demonstrate the love of God into your life? Do you need a blessing from God today? How can I bless you today? Because the demonstration of the power of God rests in us, the branches, those of us that are following after the things of God, those that have taken this word and then said, hey, I'm going to express myself to others. I'm going to express the love of Christ to others today. I'm going to find opportunity to begin to minister to those that are around me, whether it's in school or whether it's at work or where it is, or it's in the grocery store when the little old lady drops something out of her basket and you pick it up and you just hand it back to her. You hand it back to her with an anointing on it. Now I probably just said something that you don't understand, but I still believe when the Bible says that they took aprons and cloths from Paul, and that they took them home. They asked Paul to pray over them, anoint these cloths, and take them home, and they would give them to their husbands and their kids, and they'd slide them under their pillow, and these people would get saved and healed because of the anointing that was on it. I honestly believe you have that same anointing. All of us do, because we have the anointed one living in us. And if I'll tell you the truth. If you pick up a can of peas at the grocery store and pray over that can of peas and put it back on the thing, the person that comes by and grabs that, there's a good possibility they're going to get touched by God. Now I'm going to have all you guys in grocery stores now going down the thing praying, oh God, whoever grabs this bag of noodles. I just believe that there's so much that we can do to begin to minister without being terribly offensive, although there may be moments when you need to be. But I think that there's a way that we can come and minister to people right where they are. The Lord Jesus always wants us to show forth his grace and his love in order to draw us to himself. God is willing to do anything to manifest his word and to let us know a measure of the mind of God in this day and this hour. God wants us to demonstrate his power. He wants to show himself among us. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, the first part of verse 9, it says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. open opportunity for us to grapple with it. Earl Crouchley was an associate here for a long time, for years. He passed away a few years ago, but I missed that guy. That guy used to grab onto waitresses' hands to the point of embarrassment. At the restaurant, he would just grab onto their hands and just hold their hand and wouldn't let them go, you know, and wouldn't let them go, and just start blessing them, and wouldn't let go of their hand, and just start talking to them, Jesus, blessing them, you know. Sometimes it took a long time to get her to come back, to get our order, because he would just, to the point of where she was uncomfortably embarrassed, and he wouldn't let go of her hand, and he wanted to demonstrate the power of God into the waitress's life and looking for opportunity to do that because he was desperate for people to know Jesus. He would grab all the extra bulletins every Sunday after everyone had come and gone. He'd grab all the extra bulletins and he'd put them on the dash of his car. And then when he went to the gas station and he'd be getting gas, he would take one of those bulletins and he would go on the other side of the island and he would introduce himself to the person on the other side of the island and he would hand them a bulletin and say, hey, you should come to my church this Sunday. Because he looked for opportunities to demonstrate the power of God, to demonstrate God's love. He looked for opportunities for people to come to the house of God. And then I said, last week I said, there's another button I want to do. You want to go to the wedding. I want to get a button that says, want to go to the wedding. And I was telling a friend of mine that I want to get this button that says that, want to go to the wedding. And he goes, what do you mean, want to go to the wedding? And I said, well, you know, in the last days, God is going to have this great supper in heaven. And he's invited the Jews to go, but they're not all that into it. So he said to his servants, go into the streets, into the highways, and invite everyone you can see to come to the wedding. And it's the great wedding supper of the Lamb. Come to Jesus. It's a come to Jesus moment. And he goes, oh, wow, that's great. And he goes, and I'm telling you that we got to look for opportunities to provoke people to ask us the right question so that we can give them the truth, the answer, the thing that will minister into their lives. And you have to be ready to do that. I remember when I said this last week when I asked my wife about the, she asked me to demonstrate the power of God. She said, I don't know if I'd be willing to wear that. I might be a little chicken to wear that. And I said, well, is it the praying for people that bothers you or the calling down fire from heaven part that bothers you? And she said, the calling down fire from heaven. Don't let the power of God hinder you from sharing the word of God, because he will be faithful. He looks for opportunities to demonstrate his power to people. Today there are many people in need. There are many that are afflicted ones. And we read of one such man in Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 through 4. It says, and when he had come down from the mountain, great multitude followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus put his hand out and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go away, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commands as a testimony to them. You know, that last part, I've always kind of wondered why he said that. And oftentimes I think the reason that Jesus tells us to go away and tell no one is because I think his friends would have told him that it just wasn't true. Bless their hearts. Oftentimes when God works a miracle in your lives, you know, I mean, even when Jimmy said that he got healed of a tumor, some of you might have thought to yourselves, well, he probably never had one. It was probably just a blemish on the x-ray, and then when they took the next x-ray, it wasn't there. See, that's what people say sometimes. You know, miracles happen, and they go, well, you know, that. I remember one time I was pastoring a church in Three Forks, Montana, and we were having revival meetings, and I mean, God was just moving like crazy. And this lady came forward. She was just passing through our town, and there was, you know, I mean, we're pastoring a church with like 60 people in it, you know. And so she comes waddling in one night, you know, and on a cane, you know, gotten in a car accident about 5 years before, and she's hobbling on this cane. And so she comes in and she says, will you pray for me? So we pray for her. She throws down her cane and starts running around the church, completely just healed. Her crippled leg was completely healed. I'm like, praise God, hallelujah. So I'm all excited that God's doing something. Our piano player had glaucoma. We prayed for her. She went to the doctor, and the doctor told her to stop taking her drops. Her glaucoma was completely gone. Her eyes were completely healed. God was doing miracles in our midst. So my presbyter calls me and tells me, he says, Tim, how's things going over there in Three Forks? And I said, man, they're going awesome. We just had a lady get healed. She was a crippled lady. She came to our church. She threw down her cane, ran around the church, completely healed. And she goes, now, Tim, you know, people come in sometimes and they pretend to be crippled, and then they pretend. And I said, there's 60 people in my church. I'm not Benny Hinn. I mean, she practicing for the big show? She comes to my little bitty church in the middle of nowhere and pretends to get healed? I said, you've got to be kidding me, I said to him. He goes, well, and I go, how could you even think stuff like that? But when I read stuff like this, every once in a while you'll see stuff like this where Jesus says, hey, don't go back to Galilee. Where he takes the guy and he brings him outside of Galilee, because Galilee had very little faith. And he could do very few miracles. So he takes him outside the city and prays for him and says, don't go back home. There's too many people at home that'll take away your miracle. And sometimes we get miracles in our lives that happen in our lives, and then we want to share them with our friends, and we tell them, and they go, oh no. I don't know what kind of silly nonsense you're talking about, but that can't possibly have happened. And then you start thinking, well, maybe it didn't happen. And then you start slipping back into the same thing that you were already in. You know, I shared with someone this week, because I was thinking about it this week, you know, where Moses comes to Pharaoh, and there's all these frogs, you know, and there's the plagues are going on, and there's all these frogs running around, And he comes to Moses, comes in and says, hey, let my people go. And Pharaoh says, well, you know, I just, and this is paraphrased, but he kind of just says, hey, I'd like to spend one more night with the frogs. They can be released tomorrow. And I don't know why we do that. I don't know why we want to spend one more night with the frogs. Why would we want to spend one more night with those that are going to pull us back, and those that are not going to see the potential that we have in Christ? Because I'm telling you, I know the transformation power of God, because I was once a drunk and a drug addict in jail, and I went and I found Jesus, and when I got out, I moved away from all the old influences and got alone and went to church every chance I could. Why? So that God would build me up. In fact, I mentioned that to a guy the other day. I said to him, he said, well, if you started playing disc golf before your brother, because my brother's a three-time world champion in disc golf, and some of you don't know what that is. It's golf with frisbees, but he's a three-time world champion, and I started playing golf before him, and I was a better player than he was. But I was on hole 5 at Del Campo before they took it out. And I was in Bible college, and God said to me, I did not call you to play disc golf. I called you to preach the gospel. So I picked up my disc right in the middle of the hole, and I walked off, and I didn't play disc golf for 20 years. I didn't play for 20 years. And then I'm back playing again. I've been playing for probably the last 6 years, and we do ministry out there. We've already done a wedding out there. We do a lot of counseling and talking to people out there, ministering to different folks out there, just being an encouragement to those that are out there in the disc golf world. But he asked me, he said, Tim, why would Jesus want you not to do something that you enjoy and take time away from something that you enjoy like that for 20 years? And I said, because if I would have stayed, I wasn't strong enough. I wasn't strong enough to make a difference 20 years ago. If I'd have stayed, I would have slipped back in. There's a good chance. Now, I'm not saying for sure, but there's a chance that I would have slipped back in. But because I took the time to go away, when I came back, I'm stronger. I'm stronger than those that are around me that are oppressed by the enemy. And now I can be an influence for the love of God. I can be an influence now to those that are around me, because I'm stronger in the things of God than I am in the things of the world. And that's where God wants us to be. Sometimes you need to, even Jesus, we see here, got alone. Went and got alone because he needed some time so that he could be stronger than the things that are in the world. What was that? Oh, get by the mic. My wife's bringing me, get by the mic. This man was a leper that came to him. You may be suffering with something today and you need an answer from God, and God will show his perfect healing to you if you have a living faith in Christ, because he is a wonderful Jesus. This leopard must have been told about Jesus. How much is missed today because people are not consistently telling people about Jesus today? We miss opportunities to tell people about Jesus. You know, it's interesting to me, but if you'll get things in your language like, praise the Lord, oh, hallelujah, bless God. You know, when good stuff happens, when things happen in your lives, and you just go, praise the Lord, hallelujah. And people will look at you and go, oh, what was that? Because, see, they're used to someone using the F word or saying something else. And not praising God for things. And then they'll start to look at you. And then they'll start to wonder, oh no, I have guys right now that today apologize to me. They'll say something bad and they go, oh, I'm sorry, Tim. I didn't mean to say that. I said, I'm not your judge. Don't worry about me. I said, even when I'm not here, the other guy still is. It's not me you have to worry about. They're like, look at me and they go, oh. I said, because, hey, if it was up to me, you'd get in. Yeah, God is always there with us, even when we try to hide him. Always seeking to bring us back to the right faith. The problem, someone had come up to this leopard and said, you know, Jesus can heal you. Just, hey, did you know that God loves you? Did you know that God can heal you? Did you know that? I just thought I'd throw that out there, that God died for you. Did you know that? And so this guy came to Jesus, this leper came to Jesus with an expectation. And when he saw him coming down from the mountain, he went to him and said, the leopards were not allowed to get within a reach of people. They had to stay away. They were unclean. It's like the woman with the issue of blood that pressed through every religious thing so that she could get her healing. And he went to where Jesus was. And I love when it says that Jesus reached out his hand and touched him. Ordinarily, it would be very difficult for him to get near, but because Jesus was coming down from the mountain and people were following him, he was able to get up to Jesus. But Jesus came down from the mountain to him. And the leprosy, I want you to know, is a terrible disease. It was horrible back then. And there was no human help for him. No human help whatsoever. He needed a touch from God. But nothing is too difficult for God. Nothing is out of God's reach to touch and change. This man cried out, Lord, if you're willing, make me clean. And Jesus said, I'm willing. We will never We will never find Jesus missing an opportunity to do good. You know, sometimes I think we think that Jesus doesn't want to do good. And we say, oh, well, I don't know if God wants to really touch you. I don't think God will ever miss an opportunity to do something good. Look for opportunities to show God's glory. If we ask, we will find that Jesus is always willing to work when we are willing to give him the opportunity to work. You know, I've said this before, and I like to use this as an illustration. I would rather get to heaven and say, and have God say to me, you did too much than you didn't do enough. Wouldn't you love to get to heaven and have God tell you, Tim, I did not want to save that guy. I wanted that guy to go to hell, and you just kept telling him about Jesus, and so he asked me into his heart, and I had to save him. Tim, that guy that was sick, I wanted him to be sick. I wanted him to be sick and die, and you just prayed for him, and he got all healed up, and I had to heal him because you kept telling him that I would heal him. I'd rather have God say that to me than say, Tim, why didn't you tell those people about my saving grace? Or, Tim, why didn't you pray for that sick person? Why didn't you minister to that person? Why didn't you show my love to that person? I'd rather have him say I did too much. There's too many people in heaven because Tim told too many people about Jesus. I'd rather have that than have get there and have God look at me and say, there are not enough people filling my heaven because you didn't say enough. I'd rather err on the side of getting too many people healed and too many people saved than err on the side of not doing it enough. Amen? The trouble is that we don't come to him. We don't ask him for what he is more than willing to give us. In James chapter 4, verse 2, it says, yet you do not have because you do not ask. Now, in the context of this, the Lord is warning us not to come to him with wrong motives, with wrong intentions, not to come to him that way. But when our hearts and motives are right, we can come to him with confidence and knowing that he's going to answer. 1 John 5:14 says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, when we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. We know this because we know God's working in those areas. And again, in Matthew chapter 8, verse 3, it says, then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leper was cleansed. I like that. If we are definite with him, He will never disappoint us. We will never go away disappointed if we are definite with him. The divine life that flows in us brings about instantaneously will deliver us. This divine life that God has for us. This Jesus is just the same today as he was yesterday. And he says to us, I am willing, be cleansed. He is willing to work in us. There's all things are possible. If only we believe, all things are possible. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 through 14, it says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will come, you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me. And when you search for me with all your heart, I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. It is very simple. Just come to Jesus. You will find him just the same as he was in days of old. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same. The same Jesus that was touched that touched the leopard will touch you. The same Jesus that was working miracles on the streets of Jerusalem will touch you today. That same powerful name of Jesus is available to everyone in this place today. We can be set free from the captivity of our lives. Many of us have been held captive in one way or another in our lives, and we know the power that God has set us free. And many of you have grandchildren and children and relatives and friends that need to be touched and ministered by the power of God. And all we can do is pray and believe that God's going to work a miracle in their lives. It's going to change them and transform them. But be an open vessel to be used of God to speak into their lives, to say, to so that God might minister to them and give them hope. Because this is a hopeless world without Jesus. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we just love you and we thank you. We thank you for this opportunity that we can gather together and study your word. I pray that you would minister to our hearts and our lives. That, Father, if we are in need of a touch from you, that, God, that we would reach out our hands, that we would call upon you, and we would see your hand extended and the touch of Jesus come into our lives. That people would be healed and saved and set free today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, you haven't asked him into your heart and life, or you've drifted from your relationship, you want to make sure you're right with God. I want you to slip up your hand. We don't want to miss an opportunity to pray with you. We do have a little gift for you, but we want you to lift up your hand and pray for you. Amen. 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 Lord, we just love you and we thank you. We pray that you would minister to our hearts and our lives today. Cause us to leave this place with a renewed passion to share your and demonstrate your power and your glory, your love and your grace into people's lives. Father, help us this week to look for opportunities that we can be a demonstration of your power. Father, we give you all the praise, all the glory. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.